This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Now and then, we like to explore some of the big ideas changing our world, like the so-called Internet of Everything. In 2014, it's fair to say that most of us think of capitalism as the default economic system. Markets around the world are interconnected, and even communist countries like China buy and sell internationally. Our next guest, though, argues that capitalism is, in effect, eating itself. That we've gotten so good at making things cheaply that everyone can, thanks to the internet. He's Jeremy Rifkin, an economic theorist who's advised the European Union, and his latest book is called The Zero Marginal Cost Society. Welcome to Marketplace Weekend.
Nice to be with you.
I'd like you to explain the concept of the zero marginal cost society, because people sitting out there might go, well, Hanna, what's that?
Well, let me put it in context. What we're beginning to see is the emergence of a new economic system. It's called the collaborative commons. This is actually the first new economic system to emerge since the advent of capitalism and socialism. So it's a remarkable historic event, and it's going to dramatically affect all of our lives very intimately. And the triggering event is something called zero marginal cost. There is a paradox deeply embedded in the heart of capitalism. Sellers are always probing for new technologies so they can put out cheaper products, win over consumers in market share, and bring some profits back to their investors. It's just that no one ever expected in their wildest imagination a technology revolution whose productivity is so extreme that it would reduce those marginal costs to near zero, making goods and services essentially priceless, nearly free, abundant, and no longer subject to the marketplace. The internet is morphing into a super internet, and it's the communication internet is now coming together with a very fledgling energy internet and a nascent automated logistics and transport internet to create a single super internet of things, this platform. It's like a nervous system, like a brain. And what it allows us to do is any enterprise can go up on this emerging Internet of Things and have access to the data being fed across the system. And then you can use your own mobile in your own apps. So you can increase your productivity dramatically, reduce your marginal costs, and create your own energy, your own products, and your own services.
Hold on a minute there, though. One of the assumptions that is embedded in that, and particularly with the Internet of Things, is the idea of language that, say, all of these devices are speaking, right? If you've got a refrigerator that's talking to your TV, if they are communicating with open source software, then yes, it might exist in the collaborative commons. But if Samsung doesn't want you using your mobile in its language, explain to me how this moves beyond a couple of large companies controlling those networks.
Will the Internet of Things result in the monopolization of everything on the planet or the democratization of everything on the planet?
Yeah.
Or somewhere in between? Let's take renewable energy. We now have millions of consumers who become prosumers, and they're actually producing their own solar and wind green electricity at near zero marginal cost. But even before you pay back the fixed cost for your solar panel or your wind turbine, the marginal cost of producing that energy is nearly free because the sun is free over your property. You just have to capture it. Or the wind flowing across your property is free. Or the geothermal heat underneath your ground is free. You just have to capture it. And what this has meant for the big power companies in Germany is very interesting. What we found there is the producers of this new electricity are not the big, powerful global energy companies. It's millions of small players who have created their own producer co-ops, and they are putting on the installation of solar and wind, and they're enjoying near zero marginal cost production of energy.
I want to get a little bigger. There is, I think, a thread that runs through this book and has come through some of your previous work, which is this question of empathy and really good faith that you seem to have in human nature. Maybe I'm too much of a cynic, but what do you do with the question of profit motive, right? Don't people want to make money?
What's interesting here is economists say, how else would you run an economy if there's no profit? They think there's only two ways to run an economic system, either private enterprise or government or some combination of two. And what they forget, there's another whole institution that everyone on this planet relies on every day. It's called the social economy. Some of it's the nonprofit, some of it's formal and informal. But we have millions of organizations that provide all sorts of goods and services, from healthcare, school systems, environmental groups, arboretums, assisted living for the elderly, sports, culture, arts, it goes on. But they're not considered by economists because they create social capital, not market capital.
Do you worry at all when you envision this society about the poor, about the folks who are not online and who do not have access to a lot of these internet-driven services, that they could be left behind?
I think that near zero marginal cost is our way to deal with the tremendous inequality between the rich and poor. The architecture of the Internet of Things is designed to be democratic. If it stays network neutral, it means hundreds of millions of people in the developing world, as well as the industrial world, are going to be able to access this Internet of Things and going to be able to produce their own green electricity locally at near zero marginal cost. They're going to be able to produce their own 3D printed products at near zero marginal cost, and they're going to be able to share them on vast collaborative commons. And this is going to really, I think, create a great democratization of the economy, and not to mention a more ecological society. So I think the real winners here are going to be the developing world, absolutely.
Jeremy Rifkin, author of The Zero Marginal Cost Society, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.